The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome everybody. It is Thursday, February 4th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to 60 minutes of news, interviews, talk, comedy, music, and more that we call Normal Show Live. We are the mainstream media for the mainstream of the cannabis community. If they won't have us on the regular airwaves, by God, we'll make our own. And joining us, my half-half-sister and good friend, our newsreader from Astoria, Oregon, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, Russ. Nice to hear from you today.
How are you, Carrie?
Doing pretty good. I thought I would send a little P.S. friendly reminder out to all the male stashers in the world. Only 10 shopping days left till Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's right. And, of course, you know women love flowers for Valentine's Day. And here at Normal Show Live, you know what kind of flowers we are talking
about. That's right.
About. Absolutely. Well, Carrie always brings us the news right after our first break. So, Carrie, give us a little preview of what we're going to hear for today's headlines.
Well, I'm going to start out with an update from a really old case back to 2005. I'll get you guys up to speed and what the update is. We're going to go to Kansas again and look at what they're doing down there in the legislature. They can't make their minds up. And then we're going to go to a story out of Michigan that affects a medical marijuana patient.
All right. Great stories coming up in the next break with Cannabis Carrie in our hemp headlines. So stay tuned for that. Also, I want to give an alert out to our listeners in Colorado. The Colorado legislature is bringing up all sorts of bills with regards to medical marijuana, with the dispensaries, the caregivers, and so on. And they are bringing these bills up and scheduling hearings for them like the next day, like very, very quickly, which is a move that legislators make when they don't really want to hear a whole bunch of public opinion about a particular issue. These new alerts are coming up so quickly that we here at National Normal are having trouble keeping up with how fast things are moving in Colorado. So I want to encourage everyone to check out the websites of Front Range Normal, Mile High Normal, and Colorado Normal for frequent updates on the situations in Colorado. Also check out the Cannabis Therapy Institute for more information on medical marijuana. We're going to work with them to provide us the updates as quickly as we can get them so that we can get them out to you here at Normal Show Live. You can also give a listen to John Doe Radio at johndoeradio.com. John Doe does our Thursday Toker Tunes. Unfortunately, John, like I said, is really, really busy because of all this quick motion by the Colorado legislature. So we're going to play a tune from the archives today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will be going to sunny Southern California, the epicenter of American marijuana law reform, to speak with our last comic standing in L.A., Terry Joyce. She will be bringing with her a guest, Dejay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network. She'll be joining us to give us some information about what's happening for patients in Southern California. And at the end of the show, I've got my own little rant about CBS, our Times Square billboard, and how the mainstream media is shutting out marijuana law reform. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS, or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
And this is an update from a very old case. Let's see if any of you remember this one. In 2006, New York police officer Anthony Chiafola was fired after testing positive for marijuana. When questioned by an investigator, Chiafola's wife admitted to lacing her husband's meatballs with marijuana on at least 2 occasions. Each time, she said she put about 6 joints worth of marijuana into the raw meat. Catherine Chiafola said that she had expected her husband would retire after 20 years of being a cop. But when that date came up in 2005, her husband wanted to join an elite counterterrorism group spurred on after his firefighter brother was killed on 9/11. She said she spiked the meatballs in an effort to get her husband fired from his job before he was killed in the line of duty like his brother. Catherine Chiafola broke down in tears when she revealed during a lie detector test that she feared her husband would divorce her if he found out she had spiked his food. Before he had been fired, Chiafola was seen as a hero cop with an unblemished record. Now, he has been challenging that 2006 termination by Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly, but the appellate division shot it down. The panel of judges agreed with Commissioner Kelly that the levels of marijuana found in Chiafola's hair samples were too high to have come from accidentally ingesting the drug in food. Chiafola had argued that the hair sample test was not authorized by the NYPD's collective bargaining agreement with his union. But in the decision made public this morning, the Court of Appeals has held that the police commissioner was empowered to choose the method of drug testing, and that choice was not subject to collective bargaining. So it looks like this case is done, and Mr. Chiafolo's almost perfect 22 years on the NYPD has come to an end.
Oh, what a shame on this story here. First of all, let me just make the blanket statement right now that drugging someone without their knowledge, consent, or permission is wrong. You should never do that. Even if it's marijuana, you should not do that. It's just wrong. It's an assault. It is a threat to someone's bodily integrity. You know, we all know how safe cannabis is and that it's, you know, the least harmful possible mind-altering substance a person can take. But that doesn't excuse trying to drug someone without their knowledge. I'm always against that. I'm against that with pets, too. I know people like to get their dog high or their cat high. I think that's wrong as well. I mean, your pet is already high. I mean, look at Roscoe, man. I get the ball out, he turns into a tweaker. I rub his belly, he turns into a stoner. I mean, come on. Pets are already high. You don't need to get them high. But in the case of this this officer here, it is a shame that the NYPD won't look at the possibility here of him, you know, not knowing that he was ingesting this marijuana. The claim here that the hair test is going to prove that the his ingestion was more than just what was in the laced meatballs, that's also suspect. folks, don't believe the hype here when it comes to drug testing and their claims of how accurate these different things can be. There are all sorts of false positives that come from drug testing, and in the case of hair testing, sometimes that can show someone to have been using a certain drug even though they haven't been using that drug. It's an unreliable pseudoscience, and it's just another way of discriminating against responsible cannabis consumers.
Drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs. If you do them, you're bad, because drugs are bad, okay?
All right. Gary, let's go on to our next story here. I'm having some problems with the sound effects. Oh, Carrie, we're not hearing you for some reason. Your mic might be muted, or you might not be...
I got it, Russ. Are you there?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. In Kansas, although they have recently outlawed fake marijuana, like the K2 brand incense and Salvia divinorum, the first state to make such a law, they are now considering legalizing medical marijuana. Representative Gail Finney, a Democrat from Wichita, introduced a bill this week that would set up state-registered compassionate care centers where people with prescriptions could purchase medical marijuana. Representative Finney, who suffers from lupus, says that her own medical condition makes her sympathetic towards people with devastating illnesses like Parkinson's, cancer, and HIV. Of course, it does have its opponents. One such opponent was quoted by the Associated Press this morning. Representative Scott Schwab says, let's be honest, this would be an attempt to legalize marijuana. It has no benefit for pain management. All it does is make you crave another bag of chips. Representative Finney has said that several lawmakers have told her they do support legalizing medical marijuana, but they just don't want to touch the politically sensitive issue. Former Kansas Attorney General Bob Stephen, who went under chemotherapy for cancer in the 1970s, said he expects lawmakers to legalize medical marijuana after they realize it won't hurt them politically. Stephen says that for some reason, marijuana just drives people up the wall. He said it's okay to have morphine and every other drug, but it's with all kinds of awful side effects, but not marijuana. A legislative hearing for Finney's bill has not yet been scheduled.
So Kansas is going to ban the fake weed, but they're going to legalize the regular weed. Well, okay. That's kind of a crazy turn of events there. I spoke with Paul Armentano today, Normal's deputy director. He does a lot of the legislative analysis for Normal. And he's not too sanguine about the chances of this Kansas bill making it through the legislature. So we call on everyone in the state of Kansas to get in touch with your elected officials there. Check the Kansas State website. There should be ways to get in touch there. Also on our Normal website at norml.org. Look on the right-hand side for a little button that says Write Your Legislators, and that should give you everything you need to be able to get in touch with the folks there in Kansas. We can only make these changes with the support of the people on the ground there. There's only so much that those of us here at Normal can do.
And on our third story, this is a story out of Michigan. A medical marijuana patient who suffers from multiple sclerosis had his medicine seized after a traffic stop in Royal Oaks. Christopher Frizzo had medical marijuana seized last month following a traffic stop after an improper lane change. When police found his 7 grams of medical marijuana, along with his handicap license plate, medical marijuana patient card, walker, and cane, they seized it because Frizzo was not listed as a patient on any licensed provider's license. And according to police, he refused to tell them where he got it. Royal Oaks Police Chief Christopher Jenke said yesterday to reporters, there are only 2 ways you can have medical marijuana: grow it yourself or get it from a registered caregiver, and that person has to list you. He told us he got it from someone other than a caregiver. His marijuana, not his medical marijuana, was taken because he got it illegally. Well, now the American Civil Liberties Union is disagreeing and says that that's not quite accurate. His attorney, Daniel Korbokin, said that less than 2.5 ounces doesn't matter whether you got it from a supplier who isn't registered or it dropped from the sky. That if you're a registered patient, it can't be taken away from you. You can't be arrested. You can't be prosecuted. And it is not contraband. He says his client has not decided whether to file a civil suit against the cops in this case, but he does think the police went too far because he was carrying such a small amount, about a tenth of what patients can legally possess. He says it sounds like the Royal Oak Police are under a serious misimpression of what the law allows. Meanwhile, the police say that they have empathy for Frizzo, but they stand by their confiscation of his marijuana. The police chief noted that his department's empathy and compassion were demonstrated by the fact that Frizzo was not arrested and charged with illegal marijuana possession.
Oh, yeah, they're so compassionate. Here, Mr. Disabled Guy and the handicapped with the wheelchair and the canes and desperately needing this medicine to stay out of pain, we're awfully compassionate because we won't arrest you. We'll take your medicine from you, let you live in pain for a little while, but we're compassionate because we won't arrest you. You know, this just further outlines the problem with medical marijuana statutes. Number one, they're different from every state. From state to state, you know, you've got different limits and more or less leniency with regards to the possession of marijuana, growing the marijuana, and so on. Second of all, not every state has a card system. Here in the state of Oregon, we've got a medical marijuana card system. And if you've got this card, police know to be more lenient with you with regards to your carrying of medicine, so long as you are following the rules. It's not in public view, you don't have more than you're allowed, and so on. So the situation in Michigan here just illustrates, again, a need for us to legalize marijuana for all people so that cops don't have to try to sort out who are the criminals and who are the patients, right? Let's just legalize it for everyone. And I've talked to more than one police officer who's agreed with me on this point. Back in the Portland hemp stock last year, I got to talk to some of the Portland Police Bureau officers, and their general feeling was just either make it all illegal or make it all legal. But this in-between where some people are patients and protected and some people aren't and they're supposed to be treated as criminals, that's too hard for the police to have to deal with it. Your rank-and-file police officers, by and large, don't like having to waste their time with marijuana possession cases. They'd rather be busting real bad guys. Yeah, I know there's bad cops out there. There's always bad people in any industry. But by and large, the cops don't want to have to enforce this law. It's up to us to change the law. The cops are looking to us saying, please get this legalized. Again, rank and file, not the officials up at the top who are at the state house lobbying against this stuff, not the lieutenants and the police commissioners and stuff, but your rank and file police officers, they by and large will feel this way. Thanks, Carrie, for the news. We appreciate that. We'll talk to you again later on in the show.
But I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time to check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. On Saturday, February 6th, there will be a Normal meeting for Miami Valley Normal in Cincinnati, Ohio. Join at mvnormal.org. That's Miami Valley Normal. mvnormal.org. Also on Saturday, Kansas City Normal's having their public meeting at 4010 Pennsylvania Avenue in Kansas City, Missouri. Check out kcnormal.org for more details. They'd also like you to know about that evening's Winterfest 2010 at 2700 Broadway. $20 memberships all day and looks like bands galore. Surrogate Sons, Signum Ad, Organic M, Grandstand, Samus Theory, The Catalyst, so many bands I can't name them all. Check out kcnormal.org. For more details. And coming up next week on Monday, February 8th, Southwest Michigan's Compassion Club will be meeting at the American Legion Hall in Buchanan, Michigan. You can join here to learn more about medical marijuana in the state of Michigan and how to become a patient or a caregiver. Check our calendar at normal.org/calendar for details or visit Michigan Normal at minormal.org. And next week on Tuesday, February 9th, Joplin Normal will be having their monthly meeting in Joplin, Missouri. Check out joplin-normal.org for more information. Also, if you are interested in getting your event listed on the Cannabis Community Calendar, you, number one, have to be a Normal chapter. If you'd like to know about how to become a Normal chapter, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll send you a packet on the weekend all about how to form your own nonprofit organization and affiliate with Normal. We'd love to get your events out there, promote them for the whole cannabis community so everyone can know what great work the volunteers of Normal are doing to help end marijuana prohibition in their area. We got to take a short pause for the good cause, and for those of you out on the East Coast, you know what kind of pause I'm talking about. It's Normal Show Live. We'll be right back after this. Tell your friends. Follow us on Twitter at Radical Russ.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, the Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Starfish Design, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby.
The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Weed.
That's Ruby Valley, hoo-wee-ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Well, hello, Terry. We're coming to you a little bit early because for some reason my machine wouldn't fire off the Toker tunes for the day. I'm having all sorts of tech difficulties, but we're going to roll with it. Terry, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm actually driving right now.
Oh, great.
With my cell phone next to my ear, so I'm breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
I probably would break the law more if I was smoking a joint at the same time, but I'm not going to push the envelope.
Yeah, let's not push the envelope there. Well, pull over and don't get in a wreck, and everything should be fine here. What's happening in Southern California lately? It's been a while since we've talked to you. Any new news to report?
Well, yes, we do have Vijay Kuti, the president of the Patient Advocacy Network. She has some urgent news to tell us, and let's bring her on the show.
All right. Vijay Kuti from Patients Advocacy Network, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you.
All right. So you've got some urgent news to tell everyone there in the Southern California area. Go ahead and tell us what we need to know.
Oh, goodness. I don't know how to – I mean, I'm expecting an urgent phone call, but I'm not saying that it's absolutely something that's the walls are crumbling in here in Los Angeles at this moment. But the very flawed medical marijuana ordinance that was presented through the city attorney's office and then eventually passed by the city council was now signed by the mayor. Mm. And if dispensaries are paying attention, and I hope that they are – there is absolutely no way to comply with this ordinance, and it will effectively shut down every dispensary in the city of Los Angeles.
What are the problems with this ordinance that is going to make it impossible for these dispensaries to stay open?
Well, one is the number one provision is that it requires that the dispensaries get all of the cannabis that they are going to distribute tested at an independent certified testing site. And no such entity exists.
Okay.
And the other thing is that the buffering zones and sensitive use requirements are so difficult that maybe only a handful of dispensaries are going to actually be able to find a landlord in those zones with an open piece of real estate for someone to move into. And it's going to create a situation where there can be potentially up to 200 dispensaries who are going to be battling it out for a handful of pieces of precious real estate to try to comply with the zoning part, not maybe paying attention to the fact that there's these other provisions that are absolutely impossible to comply with, such as the testing site. It doesn't matter how much money you spend scrambling to move. They've got us basically backed in a corner and fucked any way you look at it.
Yeah, it's a situation.
So,
it's a situation here where they say you got to be a thousand feet away from everything.
Well, yeah, and I'm hoping that I can really invigorate your audience here. I have been involved, of course, with the Patient Advocacy Network. We are an educational and advocacy 501c3, and our approach and our mission has been through, you know, educating patients and their caregivers and providers about the law. They can be safer when they're dealing with medical marijuana, and if they understand and know how the democratic system and the democratic process works, they can be more effective about engaging it and getting it and getting involved. And we've also been instrumental in trying to educate elected officials in neighborhoods and things of that so that they have accurate information. And politically, unfortunately, here in LA, we've hit a brick wall, and it isn't because there hasn't been an adequate number of intelligent and resourceful activists in the field doing it. We just have probably one of the most ineffective city governments in the United States. They're not only completely flopping and failing on this issue, but they're getting ready to lead this city into complete bankruptcy. I know, I'm sure your audience, of course, is not listening to the Budget and Finance Committee hearings here in Los Angeles, but the city is really headed for doom, and it's not just cannabis related. And so I'm really happy to announce on your show that what I've done is I've gotten myself involved on another level, a political level, and I've teamed up with some other activists, and your listeners, in addition to visiting CannabisSavesLives.com, which is under construction, they can also visit RecallCityHall.org. And I'm working with a group of activists, and what we have decided is that not only have they failed on this cannabis issue, but everything else, that there is probably enough anger, animosity, frustration, disdain, and everything else in Los Angeles that we can gather enough signatures to recall the mayor, to recall this miserable city attorney, the controller who is asleep at the switch, and every single one of these city council members. And so for about the next 4 or 5 months, when we speak, you're going to hear a lot about this recall effort. We are right now in the preliminary stages of raising the money, opening the office, and getting ready to launch it.
Wow, it's going to be quite a battle here. And as we look at the LA Council, and, you know, like you say, they have just, you know, not lived up to their responsibilities ever since Prop 215 was passed to do anything with regards to regulating the dispensary systems. Now that they've taken the opportunity to try to do something about that, are they just mistaken? Are they operating in good faith where they think these are good ideas for some reasonable reason? Or is this, like, you know, underhanded way of just trying to shut down all the dispensaries?
I think it is definitely an underhanded approach by several council members to certainly cut down the number as many as possible. And they've been able to do that with so many provisions that even if 6 or 7 dispensaries are going to be able to find real estate, they're not going to be able to comply with the other provisions. You know, and then you have other council members, and this is the frustrating part, and this is why I can get on board with recalling every city council member, because during these hearings, when people like Bill Rosendahl could have gotten up and said, I make a motion to this and actually change the language of the ordinance, he would use his time to get up and talk about what should be happening in Washington, D.C., instead of focusing on what needs to happen in Los Angeles. And it's just a way to politically cover his ass and then never, you know, never actually be accountable and actually do anything effective to have protected patients. He acted in complete, you know, he's completely passive.
All right.
And so, you know, that's what I witnessed, at least from my perspective, from, you know, attending these medical marijuana hearings. And yeah, I think these people are completely driven by ego and the desire for their next political career. And so they're chasing the vote and the dollar. And I don't think any of them know anything about making zoning code. And that became very evident when one of the council members got up and went on and on and on about what's possible in the state Senate, because a number of our council members here in Los Angeles have served in the state Senate and state assembly. And they were talking about how things operate in Sacramento, and they're talking about like budget laws. And what we have going on here on a city level is land use and zoning code, and they're completely missing it. They don't even know what it is they've gotten voted into office to do to begin with, except sit there and collect the largest paycheck of any city official in the country.
Wow.
Our city council members are paid $173,000 a year more than any other official on that level in the country.
Wow.
And they just drink it up while our city is falling apart.
Well, you can pay me $173,000 to sit around and do nothing. I could take that kind of money. We're speaking with Vijay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network, and the website is CannabisSavesLives.com as part of our Southern California scene with Terry Joyce. Terry, let me bring you back in here, and do you have any comments about this, the city council actions, or how the people are reacting to them there in Southern California?
I think I'm with Vijay on this. I think that I'd even like to join her in that fight. I think that our city council has really done an injustice. And my opinion about the reasons why they're making other provisions is they do just want to close down the dispensaries, which I think is stupid. Stupid, 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 because marijuana is really what is needed to bring our economy back. I think it's right in front of our noses, and still they want to mandate it and take it away. It could literally save California.
DeJay?
And we're just wasting our time.
And DeJay, you're in agreement on that idea there, that this is just job-killing and tax-killing?
We've dropping the ball all over the country in the fact that, you know, we're starting to hear the harsher language come back from Washington. You know, Michelle Leonhart has been reinstated as the head of the DEA, and she has blocked research, and she was at the head of the DEA during the time of a good portion of the raids here in Southern California. So I think that the show is over. The veil has dropped, and it's back to business as usual.
Mm-hmm. This is a real tragedy. We're sorry to hear about this. How are the dispensaries organizing and reacting to this? Is it kind of every man for himself, or are the people banding together, and what plans do they have to fight this?
Well, this is a really sad part, Russ, and it's one of the reasons why I'm really excited about launching this recall effort, because, you know, there's a clock ticking on a recall. We will have this whole endeavor done from the time we file paperwork to the time of election, probably in about 8-9 months. Lawsuits, things of that nature, these things tend to go on and on and on. And right now we have a lot of opportunistic, predatory lawyers who are calling dispensaries even today. That's kind of the urgent thing that I'm dealing with right now. There's a provision in the ordinance that states that once the ordinance is in place, and everything is a go, that the dispensaries have 7 days to notify, to file their intent with the city. But the entire ordinance isn't done yet. There has to be a fee schedule, and the applications have to be produced, and, you know, it has to actually be a pretty major done deal. And we've just gotten through the first phase of it with the mayor signing this part. We've got attorneys calling dispensaries all over the city demanding anywhere from $3,500 to $8,000, saying you have to file paperwork in 7 days, and it's not true.
Hmm.
And it has every dispensary scrambling. My phone is ringing off the hook with people calling me with a lot of different misinformation. You know, I had somebody call me going, oh my God, I have to take all my edibles off the shelf because the FDA just passed something. Like, when does the FDA have the power to pass anything, you know? So it's this kind of fear and misinformation that we have rampant in the community right now, that is just providing a divide and conquer. There are dispensaries that are really hoping that the dispensaries around them will fail, scare, close, whatever, so that they can do better. I wouldn't be surprised if law enforcement is also spreading a lot of different things. I'm getting lots of calls from dispensaries, that the police are back at it with them, asking really unusual questions when they come in, these are undercovers coming in to register as patients, or when they call, pretending that they're patients, they're intentionally trying to trip the collective up to admitting that they're conducting for-profit sales and things of that nature. So it is deteriorated to complete chaos here in Los Angeles.
All right, we're speaking with DJ Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network, CannabisSavesLives.com. I'm checking out the chat rooms. If you've got questions for DJ and Terry about what's going on in Southern California, go ahead and bring them up in chat. Cannabis Carrie had a great question, and this has to do with, you know, a lot of how we've been making progress on getting people to think about, you know, the outright legalization of marijuana is by bringing up the economic impact, and you mentioned that somewhat as well. Are there any estimates to how many jobs would be lost in the cannabis industry if this ordinance were to take effect?
Well, I mean, you can say on average that with, you know, the fluctuating number is anywhere between, you know, 800 to 1,100 dispensaries operating in the city in any given day. There are people moving, new people opening, people closing. It's really in flux right now. But each of these operating dispensaries probably employs anywhere from 5 to 15 people, including their security personnel. So that, there's that. And then of course, we're talking about all of those individual pieces of real estate, where those landlords would be losing that. We'd have all these, more naked storefronts in Los Angeles than we already have now. Plus there's all of the side industries because of that, the office supplies, all the packaging, you know, the bags, the bottles, the labels, things of that nature. So no, I think we would be looking at a pretty hard hit. I couldn't give you an exact number, but I think we can all kind of fathom what we're talking about.
Yeah, if I was to just ballpark it, I know that one, I think it was LA Weekly did their estimate that there was like some 550 dispensaries, and if you average 10 people working at a dispensary, right there's 5,000 some odd jobs that we're talking about, and this is no time to be killing jobs in the economy that LA is dealing with. We've got another...
Right, and then there's all the other people behind the scenes. There's the people who are growing the medicine. You know, there's the people who are making the brownies and the cookies and all of that stuff who would, their lives would be in flux as well.
Sure. Another question came up with regard to the tax revenues that the dispensaries generate for the city of Los Angeles. And I know Los Angeles is probably like a lot of other major cities where they have local taxes, city option taxes, and so on. How much does Los Angeles itself stand to lose, much less California, in the sales taxes?
Well, they stand to lose everything because even with the way the current ordinance is written, they have the city attorney has decided to play some linguistical hocus pocus and say that there's no such thing as a medical marijuana sale anymore. Sales no longer exist. So what's happening at a collective is reasonable compensation for the services of producing it, and it's not really a sale. So the city is already going, oh my God, how do we deal with this? Because if that's the language we're coming up with legally, we're now kind of in conflict with the Board of Equalization regarding the tax on this. So just a couple days ago, a couple council members came up with yet another one of their, you know, harebrained ideas. Like, oh, let's tax the cultivation of it instead. And so they just keep backing themselves up into more of a corner with the way they're trying to handle this. And they're not just doing it on this, Russ. They're just dropping the ball on everything.
Yeah. With regard
to... This is the way they try to solve problems.
Yeah, good point. Another question coming in from the chat room. Some people are confused about whether we're talking... And they kind of overlap a little bit, but we're talking about L.A. City versus L.A. County. Does this ordinance affect the county, the city limits? Where does this cover?
The county already has an ordinance. So the county board of supervisors in Los Angeles passed an ordinance a good 2 or 3 years ago, requiring a conditional use permit for anyone who wants to open in the county. So the opportunity for a dispensary to open in the county of Los Angeles has been available for a number of years. Sadly, no one's taken advantage of it. Getting a conditional use permit is not an easy process, but once you have it, it is very, very, very difficult to take it away because you've already jumped through all these hoops and hearings ahead of time. So that's always been an option. This ordinance that we're talking about only affects collectives within Los Angeles city limits. And I know for people who aren't in Los Angeles, it's very confusing to know what Los Angeles city limits actually include, because there's a large number of communities that have been annexed by the city. Like you might hear Woodland Hills or Van Nuys or Studio City. Those are all actually still part of incorporated Los Angeles. So anyone who has a question, the best thing to do is just really to look at a map. You can Google unincorporated LA County or incorporated LA County, and you'll see a map that divides it between pink and white. Okay. What's what?
Okay. Another question had to do with the dispensaries that are currently in existence. They've paid their fees. They've jumped through the hoops. If this ordinance shuts them down, does the city return their fee money?
Well, nobody's paid any fees.
Okay.
Everyone, the only thing that anyone has paid is just to get an over-the-counter business license and a seller's permit. So they've not paid anything different or special to be in business at this point. So there wouldn't be anything to reimburse.
But they'd be out of luck as far as those business fees and such go.
The city?
No, the people that open the dispensaries. You said they had to file, you know, regular over the counter business fees and such.
No, just to get an over the counter business license. There have been no fees.
Oh, okay.
Associated with it. It's an unregulated business, so they've not paid any fees other than what any other business in the city of Los Angeles would pay to get an over-the-counter business license.
And so they'll have an over-the-counter business license that they can't use and can't get a refund on.
Well, they can't use it to sell medical marijuana, but they can use it for whatever else.
Gotcha. Okay. They can open up a convenience store or something. All right.
Exactly.
Let's see. A question here is asking about the actual logistics.
Let me just be clear. This over-the-counter business fee is like, it's like $25, Russ.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. It's like $25 to get an over-the-counter business license. This isn't big anything.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you're out $25. No big deal. Gotcha. About the logistics of this, this will have to be the last question. If indeed this ordinance is going to stand and they're going to have to shut down these dispensaries, have they addressed how they would do that? Do they have enough police force? Would they do it one at a time, all at once? Would they call in the feds? Any ideas?
Well, my understanding, at least what we have heard, is that enforcement would begin with a cease and desist order. Does the city have enough enforcement? No. Is the mayor getting ready to cut police force jobs and funding? Yes. As part of the failure of the city, we're losing our police force. Will the collectives by then probably file some type of injunction against the city? Gosh, I hope so. So, I've got to look more. I'm going to be having a legal seminar here very soon. I'm hosting a free event, or it'll be a very nominal fee of just a few dollars. To pay for refreshments and seating, where I'll have an attorney answer a lot of questions about the different logistics of doing this instead of being like this. These gung-ho lawyers are like, we're going to do it like this, and you pay me this much, and this is what I'm going to do. This attorney's here to give people a lot of different legal options about how dispensaries can go about it. And like he says, actually, you know, kind of slice and dice at the city legally on this. And again, like I said, I know that there is going to be legal action. It is eminent and probably necessary, but I also want to invigorate the community that as long as we have these people in office and our elected officials don't understand what type of sleeping giant the medical cannabis community is, being able to recall I don't know if we'll be able to recall every single one of them, but if we can recall a large number of elected officials in Los Angeles City Hall, we're going to send a ripple throughout the country that we want good policies, and if you don't give them to us, we're just going to take you out of office.
There we go. That's the way to fight back. DeJay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network, CannabisSavesLives.com. Thanks for joining us, and let's bring Terry back on the line. Terry, we didn't get to talk very much, but I want to give you a chance to tell folks how to catch up with you, catch your comedy act, and more.
Well, I just want to let you know that you can always see me at ComedyNation.com. I appear there regularly, and that American Hemptress is, we had a date planned, but it's being moved again, so we're a little bit in flux, but as soon as we get dates on that, I'll let you know. I'm in Lake Havasu on Wednesday, but I don't have the address.
Okay.
So I can't help you there, but check me out on my MySpace at Terry Joyce. T-E-R-E-J-O-Y-C-E, and I'll have it posted there.
All right. Terry Joyce, thank you so much for joining us here in the Southern California scene, along with our good friend DeJay Kuti. She joins us fairly regularly to let us know what's happening in Los Angeles. We'll be right back here with your Daily Toker Tunes. Cross your fingers. We'll get the radio
software to work. You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share. This is Normal Show Live.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
Ah, yes, I'm definitely having an issue with the Tunes Thursday intro, so I'm just going to go straight to the tune automatically here on my own. John Doe couldn't join us today. He's busy with all that work going on in Colorado, keeping track of the legislature and all the bills that are going there. So I'm going to bring back one of our Toker tunes from our regular Groovin' Thursday lineup. This is the group In Talks, and the song is How We Roll.
In Talks, that's how we roll, baby.
That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll.
Check it out. Bag of sex, bag of dope. What you expect is how we roll. Got bad bitches, yeah, I know. Still out here, we don't chase them hoes, man, rip that show. Get that dope, break them on something, get back more. Hit that globe, let cats know. Want that flow, make cash grow. Do the shit, I'm asshole, y'all just a sketch. We bang, go, we bang, so these yams know. You couldn't fuck, please, hell no. And that's why your lips go to these nuts like Velcro. And that's cause Bang said so, jack a nigga fool of instrumental, let's roll.
That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll.
Yo, I'ma take this flight. You ain't as nice. Late at night, I'ma take your wife. You can say this twice. Pay this price. Now I understand why you hate your life. It's a skeleton. Hella whores. Worldwide tours and metaphors. Niggas both on shores. Sold out stores. Open doors. Two double edged swords. I'ma change this pace. Save this race. Save to your face. You'll wait for space. Girl, take your taste. Shake your waist. Real niggas do good things. Don't hate. I never left the trace. You're just too late. Time is money, so a nigga don't wait. Pounds of dope, profound with flows, it's just how we roll.
That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll.
For those who know me, I got a bogey. Rose one, rose Loki. Chalk bomb to OV. Some one, bump some home, don't we? I got the gift of laugh to get a homie. A roll with a bitch in bag. We got a Kofi. I know shit hits the fan, that's what they told me. Holy moly, he smoked the whole 4 feet. I make moves, moves make more heat. I break rules, rules break softly. I break you, yo, I break your offbeat. Now let me take away the pain like morphine. I'm ready for anything coming towards me. I set it off, motherfuckers can't hold me. I bet it all cause I'm leaving with the trophy. Intact, that's how we roll, baby.
That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll. That's just how we roll.
That's In Talks with How We Roll, your Groovin' Thursday tune for today. Check out all of our tunes on the archives at stash.normal.org. You can find them in the main menu under Media and then Tunes.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
The healing of marijuana.
Come on, say,
free the marijuana.
Hear me, say,
free the marijuana.
All right, welcome back. It's 51 after the hour, and I want to address something that we brought up on yesterday's show with regard to an advertisement that we were going to be playing in Times Square. Notice the way that I'm phrasing that. We were going to be playing. I've got it running right now up on the chat cam right now. It's our Money Can Grow on Trees ad. Very simple 15-second ad that just shows a tree with some marijuana leaves with dollar signs on them. And then it says, money can grow on trees, legalize marijuana, billions in taxes, normal. And the idea behind this ad was that we were approached. We did not go out soliciting this ad to anyone. CBS came to us. Asking if we were going to put forth an ad. Basically, what happens is they've got this big 20-foot by 26-foot electronic billboard in Times Square, and they usually get, you know, top dollar for the advertisements that run on this billboard. But every now and then, they end up with a situation where they don't have enough ads, or someone pulls out, you know, last second and can't do an ad, and they need to fill that time. So what they do is they approach nonprofit organizations and offer them a very substantially reduced cost ad for this billboard. So we got this note toward the end of January, last week of January, where CBS wanted this ad. They were soliciting for an ad. They said, hey, could you come up with the money, you know, to do this ad kind of last second? And so we scrambled. We went to some of our donors, some of our board, and we scrambled to raise the thousands of dollars necessary for the ad. And we had our IT people working overtime and over the weekends to try to make the deadline to put this 15-second ad together. So we worked really, really hard, really, really fast to try to make this happen. Now, CBS was all about getting this ad on the air. We told them exactly who we were. We are the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. We will be talking about marijuana. We might actually show pictures of marijuana. We might be talking about legalizing marijuana. So it was absolutely clear to CBS and everyone involved what would be in the ad. And then we give the ad to them and is forward to the ad agency people, and they're like, yeah, we'll go forward this. We'll put this, we'll get the go-ahead from CBS, and we'll just run this tomorrow, which was today. And the CBS exec saw it and went, oh my God, it's about marijuana. It's got pot leaves. We can't run this. And they pulled the contract for the ad. Yes, the CBS, the company that has no problem owning Showtime and making lots and lots of money off of a show called Weeds, they have no problem pulling the ad from Normal if we want to talk about legalizing the marijuana. Now, this is something that hits quite personally to me, and I wrote about it this summer in an article called NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox are happy to profit from marijuana as long as nobody talks about legalizing it. And it just goes through to illustrate all of these different mainstream media outlets who are more than happy to make their money off of the cannabis community, off of cannabis culture, and yet they don't want to do anything to support talking about legalizing cannabis or freeing the cannabis culture from the expectation of arrest and imprisonment and loss of student loans and loss of jobs and loss of security clearances and loss of the right to vote, etc., etc., etc. This show you're listening to right now, Normal Show Live, the reason it exists is because Normal was approached this summer. We were approached this summer by CBS Radio. They were starting a new channel called chataboutit.com, and they wanted to have shows on that channel, you know, talk shows. They wanted some content, and they looked to us. And so I scrambled to put together a fundraiser. I eat chicken wings, you know, super hot chicken wings that gave me all sorts of problems later on. To get the equipment together, I scrambled to get the professional announcer that you hear on Normal Show Live, Dan Michaels from the Big Ed Schultz Show. We put together all the audio clips, went through all the licensing. I made all the content, did everything necessary to put this show on Chat About It. And again, the day before we were ready to go, they ran it before the CBS execs, and they said, "Oh, you're talking about marijuana? Well, no way we could do that." And I was left sitting high and dry with 2 hours worth of talk show and nowhere to put it. Now, we did work it out. We got it on the Blog Talk Radio for a while, and now we're on Stick'em, and everything's going great. But it just goes to show that, once again, we cannot rely on people to be fair to us. We cannot rely on businesses to treat us as equals. It's almost as if we're living back in 1955 or something, and we're a black-owned company, and no one wants to do business with us, and no one will give us housing, and no one will treat us fairly. It's time for the discrimination against cannabis consumers and the issue of marijuana law reform to be treated seriously, to finally get the respect it deserves. And this can only happen if those of us in the cannabis community band together and put our money together in organizations like Normal, in LEAP, in Students for Sensible Drug Policy, Marijuana Policy Project. There's a lot of orgs out there. Of course, I work for Normal. I'm biased. But hey, we've got to do it ourselves. The fact that this show is on the air right now just goes to show that we can do this ourselves. The technology exists now. It's cheap enough now. We can make this happen. But we can't do it if all we're going to do is buy our dime bag, sit back on the couch, smoke a reefer, and laugh at the TV, and eat some munchies. That's not going to get anything changed, people. A lot of times people will ask me, when do you think they'll legalize marijuana? And I always say, who's this they you're talking about? When are you going to legalize marijuana? When are you going to do something about it? We can't let the CBSs and the NBCs and the Foxes of the world continue to put us down. You know, you get the example here of, NBC. NBC is owned by Universal. Universal, of course, releases all those documentaries on MSNBC and CNBC, the Marijuana Inc., and all of those documentaries we saw that were great documentaries. But again, they make money for NBC. They're happy about that. But if we want to talk about legalizing it and changing the way things run in this country, they're not so happy about it. Also, don't forget, NBC Universal has the rights to all the Cheech and Chong movies and the Half-Baked and the Harold and Kumars and things like that. Dazed and Confused, for example. They're happy to sell those movies to us. They're happy to get our money from laughing at the cannabis culture. But once again, they don't want to support the cannabis culture. They don't want to help us free ourselves and legalize cannabis and end this stupid war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. And it's not just Normal. In case you might think this is a bias against Normal, no. The Marijuana Policy Project put together an ad for California that showed a middle-aged woman who was interested in ending adult marijuana prohibition and having medical marijuana protection in California. They wouldn't show that ad, a little 30-second ad that was hardly offensive to anyone. So once again, cannabis consumers, I can't say it enough, it's up to us. We have to band together. Send me an email at stash@normal.org. I'll put you in touch with your local Normal chapter. If there's not a local Normal chapter near you, I'll help you build a local normal chapter. We can do this. It's going to be tough, but we can do this, folks. California's voting this November. Let's band together. Let's make this happen. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.